Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to From Marva with Love. I am your host today, Marva Smead, and I like to start off my show by saying this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it. Awesome day. This is Fabulous Friday, y'all. You know, come rain or shine, it is a beautiful day, and that it is. Here in North Central Texas, we have a kind of mild morning starting out for us today. We should be at 96 before the day is over. But right now, it's a cool and calm like 84. So that sounds good to me. I was out earlier covering an event this morning, and it was quite nice. It really was. It was quite nice. So now, listen, it is a lot going on. It is a lot going on in our community, in our state, and in our country. We today started the opening ceremonies for the Summer Games in Tokyo. We can talk a little bit about that a little bit later on in the show. But you know what? I just wanted to know how many Texans are in there, and every day seems like there's a new Texan that is going to perform, whether it's in track and field or volleyball or swimming. I think that's just awesome. I think the young people, you know, really, really are doing it, and they really are doing it. Now, but there is some definite controversy over the summer games, whether it should be postponed and shut down. There's going to be no spectators in the arenas to watch it, only dignitaries and, you know, important people, you know, and from people from other countries, the dignitaries from other countries will be there. So anyway, not only that, all right, so vaccine, the Delta variants. These are some things, man, that we just have got to continue having a conversation about. We really do. We have to continue to have a conversation because, you know, we have to get on the same page. And there's so much misinformation out there. And what we at iMessenger Media would like to make sure is that you have the correct information. So if you would like to be on our daily e-blast, we would love for you to email us at editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. If you would leave your email address, we will put you on our e-blast list, and you will get that news every day in your inbox right there. Now, iMessenger Media is the umbrella for Texas Metro News, Garland Journal, and iMessenger. I don't have another Garland Journal in front of me. And the two papers are Texas Metro News and Garland Journal. They hit the streets on Thursdays. Now, Texas Metro News is a weekly publication. Garland Journal is a biweekly publication. It's on the first and the third Thursdays of each month. And then our magazine on Messenger is every Friday. It is a digital magazine, and so it's just a lot of wonderful information in there. So let me start out by let's talk a little about what is happening right now as of today. Well, we celebrate a superb woman, and Cheryl Smith, our publisher and editor, she does a superb woman every day. And 2021 is the year of the woman, especially Black women. We are dedicating this space to uplifting Black women and spreading a message that we need to show love and empower people with love instead of destroying them with hate and disrespect. We celebrate Black women and call them superb. That is written by Cheryl Smith, our publisher. And today's superb woman is Dee Dee McGuire. Dee Dee brightens your day every day, no matter the time, whether she is advocating for women, telling a joke, or addressing social injustices. She is good and makes those around her feel good. Now, Dee Dee McGuire has been entertaining radio audiences for decades. One of the few women with a nationally syndicated morning show, Dee Dee in the Mornings, on K104 FM Dallas. Now, for those who are not in Dallas, I mean, there's also a website, a K104 website, so you can listen to Dee Dee in the Mornings. Dee Dee has interviewed world leaders from President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton to celebrities such as Jay-Z and Beyonce, a philanthropist, community activist, mentor, and volunteer. Dee Dee is the recipient of numerous awards, including the International Black Broadcasters, IBBA, Lifetime Achievement Award, Elite News Communications Award, Shades of Success Honor, and she was also named one of the top 25 women in Dallas by Rolling Out Magazine. She's a spokesperson for Witherite Law Group. They are the injury lawyers, Mint Dentistry, Park Place Motor Cars, Spence Diamonds, and Squeezed Online. Dee Dee is a loving person who continues to give back to her community through countless nonprofit organizations and scholarship programs, including Women Called Moses, Beauty and Brains, Dee Dee McGuire Scholarship, and as community ambassador for Dress for Success Dallas. In March of 2018, she inaugurated Dee Dee's Women's History Month kickoff luncheon benefiting Girls Incorporated Dallas and Dress for Success Dallas. She's funny, she's smart, she's conscientious, she's sincere and focused. She's a woman with a vision who is socially conscious, and she is a trailblazer. And we at iMessenger Media would like to congratulate Dee Dee McGuire for being our superb woman today. Now, she's just awesome. I listen to her in the mornings. She's pretty awesome. Now, I want to talk about voter suppression. Now, you know that they are trying hard, and I do mean the Republicans are trying hard, to pass a voting law that is going to take away a lot of things that we have had for voting, like shorter voting times. They're going to take hours away for early voting. And you know, just some things that seems to be like they would even bring the booth out to you if you couldn't get out of your car. They want to just do away with all of that. And so basically what it does, it suppresses our vote. And so if they make it harder for us to vote, then they think, well, they won't go. They won't vote. But we're going to prove them wrong. But here on Sunday, July the 25th, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., there is going to be Texas Voter Suppression 101. And it is hosted by the DFW Area Chapters of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. And it is going to be live on Facebook. So you can go to the DFW DST Facebook page and check that out on Sunday from 3 o'clock. It starts at 3 o'clock. Now, our publisher, Cheryl Smith, is going to be the moderator, and there's going to be a panel, and they're just going to break it down for you. I'm going to break it down so that you know what we know, right? You know that how to get your vote out, get registered, and share that with people. Because you know what? If we say, you know what, we're not going to do it all. They're making it too hard. You know, I can't. We need to take that out of our vocabulary. I can't. It's really important that we do this. So tune in on Sunday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. All right. Now, hope in our, and it's in the paper today, and it is about hope. At last, sparks 21% increase in grades of most academically challenged students. This is by founder CEO Randy Bowman during the last At Last program. So attorney and businessman Randy Bowman has a lot to feel proud about as he reviews the grades of students attending At Last. The Innovative Educational Support Program for at-risk elementary school children in Dallas just completed its first term, and the results demonstrate that its model achieves significant academic gains for kids with the most serious education deficits and lifts performance across all levels of ability. You know, I just have to say that, you know, we have to make sure that our young ones are getting it, because in the past there's been so many young ones that I don't know if it's the education system or is it the parents or what, but the ball was dropped. And by the time they reached higher grades, junior high and high school, they had missed so much that they should have gotten in elementary school for whatever reason. You know, some parents, they're just doing the best they can to get food on the table, to keep them in clothes, and to get them school. So these at-risk elementary school children, you know, really need the help. And so the At Last program is doing that. So congratulations on that as well. Now, I told you that this morning I was out at block walking with the commissioner. So it was held at the Foremost Family Clinic, which is at the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center over there on MLK Boulevard. So I joined with the County Commissioner John Wally Price and the Judge Clay Jenkins staff, and the Dallas Health County Health Department. So they were all there. They were getting some training so that they could go out and walk the block. And that they were doing. And so we talked about, you know, just getting this information out. And we had some really good conversation as well. Because, you know, they say that good news travels fast. and bad news travels even faster. So what has happened is that you may hear of one person that didn't fare well with the vaccine or one mistake, and that is even traveling even far faster than those that have been vaccinated and with no issues, no problems. And so there was a question, how do we get in social media, how do we get them to understand that this is, that is a very, very, very small percentage, but yet people are believing that instead of when they hear that I was even there when the commissioner, Price, when he got his vaccine over at the Ellis Davis Fieldhouse. And so he got his, and so did that news travel fast? We were hoping that it did, because it's really, really important that we all get vaccinated. And I know it is a lot of talk about the Delta variants, and the Delta variants are attacking people and making them really, really sick are the people who have not been vaccinated. So with that thought in mind, those people who are vaccinated are not dying and are not ended up in the hospital. So why would you not want to be vaccinated? There's just not enough good news traveling as fast as it should about this vaccine, because we definitely have to do it. There were just, everybody had, you know, young people. I talked with a young man that's interning with Judge Clay Jenkins this summer, and he said that, you know what, I just gave my friends the facts. I gave them statistics, and I told them, we need to be vaccinated. You need to get vaccinated. And so we've got the young people talking to each other, and then we have people in the church talking to one another, the children, I mean the seniors talking to one another, the health department. It's getting that word out, saying that yes, there are vaccines right there. As a matter of fact, there are vaccines at the MLK Junior Family Clinic, the foremost clinic. So if you have not gotten vaccinated, you can definitely be vaccinated there. And the address is 2922B Martin Luther King Junior Boulevard in Dallas. And today you will see them out walking the block in South Dallas around that area, because there, that is an area that people are not being vaccinated for whatever reason. You know, some people say, I didn't know, I don't know where, you know, just the information. And some people are afraid. But listen, I've always learned and I've always known that the only thing that we fear, that we should fear, is fear itself. So let's stop doing that. You know, let's stop being fearful and walk in faith, walk in truth, and get this done. Let's get it behind us. Because, you know, their beds are getting full in the hospitals. There's a lot going on. And so, listen, I'm in the studio by myself, so I don't have my mask on. But as a regular, I do. I wear my mask. And when I go out, I wear my mask. At the event this morning, I had my mask on. Everybody had their mask on. For me, it's a no-brainer, you know. I also heard that the common cold is making a return. And, you know, we want to know, how did that happen? You know, just tell us, do we know how that happened? How did we get back to that? How did we get away from it, and now we're back to it again? And here's some things that what I've noticed that during this pandemic. One, we are wearing masks. Two, we are washing our hands regularly and often, and it's like the times that, oh, I don't need to wash my hands. Now we're washing our hands After we touch, pick up, do anything, we're washing our hands. We're using hand sanitizers and social distance. When you are in small, confined areas, 6 feet apart. Not getting out into large crowds. So we were doing all of this, and guess what? No one got a cold. Last year, I did not get a cold. Not one time did I feel like I needed to take my bed and get some NyQuil. I didn't have any of that. And now it's been reported in the news that the common cold is coming back. And so here's the thing. You're just going to treat it like you would normally. Those symptoms of fever or coughing, what all those cold-like symptoms, you can treat it with over-the-counter things. But now if it does get worse, if you feel like it's being really, really persistent and it's not lasting a couple of days, then really see a doctor. See a doctor. And, so I think that is how we last year kept the common cold down as well. You know, it's because of our practices. So do you plan on, here's a question for you, do you plan to stop some of those practices, making sure that those surfaces are clean, sterile, and sanitized, making sure you're washing your hands, there were so many different little gadgets that came out that you could open doors without touching them, you know, wearing gloves, that I saw people still wearing gloves. I just got back from Pennsylvania. My granddaughter turned 16 and they had their sweet 16 birthday party. It was beautiful, very emotional. But in traveling, I noticed that people were wearing gloves, people at the airport. It is an absolute rule that if you are going to be in an airport, you will need to have a mask on during the whole time you're traveling in and out of that airport. When you get on the plane, your mask must be on and not come off unless you're eating or drinking, and then it goes right back on after you've done that. I did notice that we flew in at a time when it wasn't just really, really busy, but when we were leaving, the lines were long, and we did have to wait quite a while. We got to that airport at 9:30. Our flight didn't actually leave until 3:30. So we'd been there all day long, and a lot of it was standing in line waiting to check baggage and then sitting at the gate. And I was traveling with my mother, who's 80, 1 year old, and so we had to have a wheelchair for her. So that took a little bit more time. So I do encourage people, if you are flying, if you're going anywhere, give yourself a few hours, because would you not rather just be there a few hours prior to your departure and not take the chance on missing it, or, you know, having issues like weather and cancellations of your flight and things like that. So I just think it's best to get there early. And on the way back, when we were coming back, they did send out an email saying that the Eastern Seaboard was going to be hit with a storm from the, you know, for the next 3 days. And they also allowed us, if we wanted to change our flight, we could do that as well. Well, by the time it was almost time for us to get there, the flight was still on time and everything. And so, in fact, there wasn't any rain at all. But we got there, we got on our flight, and we got home safely, thank God. But if you are, like I said, if you are going on a trip, just make sure you get there early and in time, and make sure you have your mask, and make sure you are wearing your mask during all of that, okay? So now we're going to go on and just keep going down and checking some things out. Now, there's a school, a back to school program that's going to come up here really pretty quick, and it's going to be on August the 14th. It's hosted at the Martin Luther King Community Center by the City of Dallas and the Martin Luther King Center. And it is on August the 14th at 10 a.m. And you will need to visit and register for that or get more information by going to www.dallasmlkcenter.com. And do that. But we are going to take a quick break, just a quick one, and we will be right back.
Oh, just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die.
All right, y'all, I really wanted to share more of that song with you, but we've got a packed show for you today. Now, my special guest is going to be this coming on shortly is Kenneth Marshall. Now, Kenneth Marshall is an author of two different books. One is Why Must We Play These Dating Games? And the other is Dating Truths, Loss Prevention versus Damage Control. He's an entrepreneur. He's a cook and an Army veteran from Austin, Texas. He is known for his famous waffles. He's also called the Waffle Man. And so he is going to be on, and we're going to talk to him about his books, talk to him about his waffles, and it should be a really great interview. So please stay tuned for Kenneth Marshall. And he's an author and an entrepreneur and a cook. All right, so he's going to be on, and then later on in the show, we're going to have Margie Blunt, and she is a principal in Katy, Texas, in a middle school, and so we're going to be talking to her just about her challenges and successes with this new school year coming, and the children, the teachers. We're going to find out all about how she is handling that. So if you have children that are getting ready to go back to school, I mean, we just want to know, now, if they're 12 and older, they can be vaccinated. But there's those elementary, those pre-K and kindergartners and up to 12 years old that are not being vaccinated. And we want to know, how is she handling that? I don't know that she has that in her school, but, you know, how are they handling that situation? And are you letting your children go back to school? Are you going to homeschool? Has that gotten over with you? I just want to know all about that. So we're going to talk about that. And so now we're just waiting on Mr. Marshall to come on. So, all right, I see him there. So we are going to invite him in. So let's welcome Mr. Kenneth Marshall.
Yes. How are you doing?
How are you, Mr. Marshall? It is so nice to meet you. So are you? Okay, so I was just telling our listening audience, you're an author as well as being known as the Waffle Man. And so give us a little background. I think let's start off with your books, because just the titles threw me. I just love the titles. And so there's a lot we can talk about there. So can you just go ahead and introduce yourself and go ahead.
All right, yeah, I'm Kenneth Marshall. I mean, you make a reference about the books. Let me kind of scoot back a little bit from shaking the table. I apologize.
Oh,
all right, so, yeah, the books, Why Must We Play These Dating Games was my first book that I wrote that in 2015, okay? And that was after being married for 17 years, and we had got divorced, and I got back into the dating world. And I just saw that things had changed drastically. Right. So I was like, man, it's a bunch of games. It's a bunch of playing with an agenda going on. So that's why I wrote that book. I had a 38-question survey that I used for to get the data and information, as well as interviews, focus groups and so forth. And I just wanted to kind of put it on display in a humorous way based off of true accounts, a book that can kind of get you some information and make you aware of certain games and jockeying for positions that many women do. It's not a how-to book. Either one of my books are a how to get a man, how to keep or mate. None of those type of things, because I don't believe there's a blueprint that's just definitively 100% proof in order to state that this is how you get a person or a man or a woman. The second book is The Dating Truth: Loss Prevention versus Damage Control. And that's basically, again, a little bit more of a take on the games that are played between the genders, that men have a agenda to not get played. That's the loss prevention portion of the dating truths. The men are trying to mitigate their losses en route to their quest to eventually make your a companion and acquaintance. And also sex. There's a pre-sex out-of-pocket limit or amount of time that men are going to account for before they give up their chase. Mm-hmm. And then the loss prevention versus damage control. The damage control is women try not to get used, because they understand that all of the games that have been previously mentioned, 90-day rules, you know, how to date properly to find Mr. Right, somewhere or another it's leveraging her vagina. Leveraging the cooch. The 90 days rule is, before I give you the cooch, you got to wait 90 days.
Oh, wow.
Right? So that's my bargaining chip. And women and men both try to play with the lead. If you've ever played any type of competitive sport, it's usually more comforting playing with the lead than it is trying to catch up.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so we're going to go there. Because, all right, now, in relationships, in relationships, do you think that they start out in truth?
No. That's where the representative moniker comes in. I believe that there are certain truths that we will allow to be revealed, but even those may omit certain details, right? You're not just going to come out. No one wears on their forehead their true intentions, you know. I didn't have it pretending that, hey, I throw right hooks after a certain amount of time being with you. Mm-hmm. If you give me a certain answer that I don't like, it comes with a punch. No one has that on their forehead. You know, we always find out after the fact how the person really is once that adversity comes. So I believe you can have a certain motive or intention. Hey, I may be looking to find a mate. That can be a certain truth. Right? But the personality within who we really are usually only comes out through certain types of situations and circumstances.
Wow. Okay, so you said you had a 37-questionnaire survey. So tell us, give us a few examples of the questions that you asked and what were your responses?
Absolutely. Okay, so my point of it, I have a chapter in Why Must We Play These Dating Games called Vagina in the Driver's Seat. So in my importance of where sex plays in regards to acquiring a mate, I believe it is the very far most important aspect of acquisition, your ability to provide good sex. Now, if I ask the woman that directly, then she has an immediate response of, no, it's not about sex. You got to have this, you got to have that, and all this other stuff. And I was like, no, that's not the case. Let me give you an example through questions. So I asked this question. If a guy you recently met had nice looks, a wonderful personality, and was financially secured, but was a 4-inch One Minute Man, could he be a candidate for your future boyfriend to husband? 9 out of 10 women, and I surveyed about 250 women between the ages of 18 to 45, but the majority of the demographics was about 30 to 40, 45, about 80% African American, and then whoever else I can throw in. 9 out of 10 said, no, he couldn't. That 1 out of 10 that says, well, there's other things, it's not that important, then I have to come back and ask another question and get her to tell her stuff, because men, we know the truth.
Okay.
So I asked this question. Acquiring a new guy, how many chances do you give a new guy to get the sex right? Those women that was the 1 out of 10, they would answer 2 chances. That was the average. To get the sex right. I ain't got time to teach no grown man. This is stuff you already need to know. With that being said, it goes back to proving the onus. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a 4-inch, 1-minute man that can't get the sex right. It doesn't matter if you're that guy, that how good you can provide, how good of a leader you may be, how nice your personality may be, how great your sense of humor may be. None of that is relevant if you don't get this portion right.
Wow.
So that's one of the things. And then I also just ask questions, what is your definition of cheating? And the consensus was saying or doing anything that you wouldn't say or do with the opposite gender if your mate was standing beside you. Now, I wrote in my book, there are misdemeanors to felony offenses.
Okay.
Everything is a death sentence.
Okay. Yeah.
But you take it to social media, I ask women, what if he likes a woman that you know is his type? What if he likes her pictures consistently, but never comments? That was like, well, I would have some questions. Why are you liking her pictures? I said, what if he hearts it and comments? Oh, hell no, we ain't. So now it's just based off the individual, how severe each offense may be.
So let me ask you this. So now we are in the day and age of social media.
Yes.
And prior to social media, it was boyfriend and girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
How did she know if he was cheating? Somebody would have had to come and tell her because they saw him. You know. But now people are scouring your whole life in social media. So in your instance, you said you were married for 17 years and you divorced. So how did it change in dating from back before you got married to now?
Exactly. What you make a great point. I tell people this. And this is in the second book. It's within the chapter, Men Select, Women Choose.
Mm-hmm.
And we can correlate that to online or social media. People can now touch and have access to thousands to millions of people in the comforts of their bed first thing in the morning. You would have to get up and get dressed to find out if you still, quote unquote, got it, right? But now you can just, a woman can just post a picture knowing that the majority or a certain percentage of her friends are males, and she can get all the, hello, beautiful, you sure looking good, ooh, girl. You can find that out. You can get all your ego stroked while still being in a committed relationship right from the comforts of your bed. So that's the same for men. Men can now hunt from the comforts of their bed. All I got to do is just go through my feed and like and heart who I want. That's my selecting part. Men select. I can select which woman that are all the women that I find attractive enough to cast my line out to, right? Mm. Now, the choosing part of it is the women says, out of all of these guys that are just like and heart my picture, which one is attractive enough to choose to entertain?
Mm-hmm.
So it's different now because you just have so much access to everyone, mm-hmm. and it tends to be the new normal. Back in the day, like you said, we had to go to the club. We had to go to Walmart.
Yeah, yeah.
To the mall. We had to go out to be seen. Now it's right here on your phone.
Wow. I mean, I just think that's just really crazy. So in your questionnaire, in your survey, you wanted self-assessment. So now who did you find that was responsible for these terms of engagement?
Women. This is why I say that women are responsible for the games that are played. I have a quote in my book. Don't confuse respecting being told the truth with being able to handle the truth. That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave a scenario in the book stating that, do you honestly believe that men, because women always say, why do men got a lot? If you know that's just all you want, just say it so I can have a choice. Let me choose. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, let's see how much logic that makes and see how we got to this point. Men, do you honestly believe men from thousands of years ago since our creation was telling the truth of their true intentions of wanting to acquire you as a mating partner using honesty exclusively? They were at that time yielding the desired results with all of this truth. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, decided to abandon their campaign and their strategy and start telling all these lies. Do you honestly believe that's how it unfolded? And I put in a picture in the book that, you know those old school cartoon traps where they got the box with the stick under and they put a carrot?
Uh-huh.
I said the bunny represents the woman. The carrot represents the strategy. Who out of the bunny and the hunter determines that a carrot would be the best thing to put underneath the box if they wanted a successful hunt?
Mm-hmm.
The bunny determines that the man, the hunter, better use a carrot if he wants to be successful. So that, if you put it all together in the story, the lies that men tell, the games that we are required to come with and play to satisfy the bunny into coming to our trap or coming into our lair, is all predicated on her. If we could, as a used car salesman, if I could sell you and sell to you that this car here is a lemon, you're going to end up spending more money on repairing this piece of shit than it is for you to drive it.
Yeah.
If I could sell you that car with that,
mm-hmm.
trust me, I would.
Mm-hmm.
But for women, he has to come with all of the hyping of the car, all of the perks of the car, hiding and omitting the truth of the reality of the type of car. But what she would do is she would then still buy that car upon the lie at the point of sale.
Mm.
But she also knows that since men ain't shit,
mm-hmm.
that once a used car is sold as a used car, mm-hmm. it was a used car for a reason. So repairs and expenses are a part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't tell you that up front.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
I do. And I think that is a great analogy because you're right. We do say, if you just tell me that I can deal with it. But in all actuality, we really can't deal with it, but yeah. We want to know. So you got six in one hand and half a dozen in the other. So
there you go.
Do you think that dating has improved with social media, or do you think there's still some things, old school things, that should be appreciated?
Both. I believe it has, just off of, you know, accessibility to the opposite gender, right? You'll never know who you're dealing with till that adverse situation comes. It's kind of like you can have a couple that's been married, even with me and my ex-wife
mm-hmm.
and others that I've talked to, you can be at each other's throats and ain't spoke to each other and slept with each other for months or weeks or whatever. Come Thanksgiving, you drive 4 hours to get to mama's house. You ain't said one word to each other. You get to the house. Now she's making my plate. We're communicating, act like it ain't nothing wrong. And then once the divorce comes, everybody like, I didn't know that was, of course you're not. It's not your place to know.
Right.
It's none of your business.
Right.
So I would tell people, don't equate the length of the relationship with the strength of the relationship. It's a big difference.
Oh,
so
wow.
there's a, I, I believe that there are some old school principles that can be things, but I just think we have to really, really kind of change our expectations. We can predict the behavioral patterns of all other species based off of what they've shown us, but we refuse to do so with humans. Because if we look back at our past in dealing with humans, we've learned that they are very selfish. They're not the most honest. They're definitely out for self. But we'll go into the new relationship saying, well, I'll trust you till you give me a reason not to trust you. I'm saying you can't be guarded. But don't be a fool either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's all I'm trying to say. Maybe our expectations are too snow white for the species that we're choosing to deal with. And maybe if we would put our expectations in a more realistic perspective, a point of view, then we won't be so disappointed, because we're only seen to be disappointed when the other doesn't meet the expectation.
I agree with that. I think you're right. I agree with that. So I think I like your analogy of misdemeanors to death sentence. I really like that, because in our conversation with one another, and we're trying to get to know each other. So, and you know, when you ask those point blank questions, if he cheated on you, are you going to leave him? And if you say no, that may or may not be the truth. So that truth is on both sides.
Right. Right.
So what do you think about that? What do you think about infidelity? And then does it lead back to, if it's together, do you still have the same type of intimacy that you had prior to the infidelity?
I believe it changes. I believe infidelity is the hardest thing. I was just on another talk show with one of my friends, and his questions, QT and HR, I just want to give a shout out to him.
Mm-hmm.
Questions that need answers. So he posted a question: is monogamy natural for humans? I believe that it isn't, but I believe that we have a big enough brain to act on certain things and goals that we set our mind to, right? Meaning that if we choose to be monogamous, we can, but doesn't mean that, I mean, for that day, Monday. We can be monogamous Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We can be monogamous for several years. But I believe that's going to take a certain amount of concentration and a certain amount of planning, not just a natural act. Right? It's not natural. It's kind of like sharing. We're never meant to share. You got to teach your child to share. If you have a child, he comes in, he has his toys. Another kid comes in, tries to pick up his toys. First thing the little kid, the two-year-old, does, go over there and claim his toy back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mother be like, boy, I didn't play with it. Yeah, let your cousin play. Mm-hmm. And you got to teach the kid shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same with monogamy. It's a learned act. So I believe that's hard in itself. But once that is broken, now that person has a lot of questions in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And about how you were with when you was with that other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men are very insecure sexually. That's why a lot of women may attack a man sexually. When they want to try to hurt him bad, right? Talk about his tools or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe the reason why men are so unforgiving in that, when women have stepped out on them, is women are more, a little bit more forgiving in men because of what were you exposed to, right? Who am I measuring up against? Those type of things can eat him mentally. They may not admit it on, but that's a reason why it's so detrimental to a guy.
But don't you think that goes both ways, though? Because men put that pressure on women too. The ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, when you're talking about what the ex-girlfriend did, I want to know why you ain't still with the ex-girlfriend.
I wrote this in Why Must We Play These Dating Games. You can only be brand new once.
Okay.
So infidelity is usually never about replacing what he has at home when you're talking about a man. It's just all about an experience. Now, if there's other things that are lacking in the home,
mm-hmm.
outside of personality, financial, mm-hmm. those type of things, one of those acquisitions, sexual acquisitions, could possibly rise up to the top to where he can love and care about that person more and leave his home. We're not saying that that's not a possibility. But when he's freelancing, in lack of a better word, it's not because of something that's no longer good at home or he's looking to replace. He's just being a sampling hunter. Not to say it's right or wrong.
Right.
Usually with women, if she really loved this guy at one time,
mm-hmm.
and now she's open to where she's allowing another gentleman into her life at that capacity, it's usually for an evaluation to move on and replace. From my experiences of dealing and questioning women,
wow.
usually if I've loved you dearly before, regardless if you cheated on me before, but regardless if she just got tired of you, because again, you're going to be brand new once. So I believe with that statement, once you've had sex for the first time, the newness, the excitement, the anticipation of that encounter with that person ever again depreciates like a car driven off the lot.
Wow. I like that.
You know what I mean? It's not
yes.
to say that it ain't good.
Right.
It's just that it ain't exciting. If you open up a present for the first time. Let me
right.
give you a big box
mm-hmm.
and wrap pretty and you, ooh,
mm-hmm.
you just ripping up the package. You see, that is what just whatever you wanted, a big new Gucci purse.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, hold on. Let me have that purse back. And right in front of you, I wrap it, put it back in the box, and wrap it up again. You're not going to unwrap it with the same anticipation as you did the first time.
You're right. You're so right. So now, do you think that men are more in guard and protection of their feelings and to not be rejected, to not be hurt, than women are? So, I mean, tell me about that. Tell me what you think about that.
Are you talking about initially?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, well, it kind of depends on the person. I've heard women say, a guy tried to come on to her to introduce himself. She told him no, and then he gives her curse her out or call her out of her name.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, damn, can you just not? No, thank you. I'm good. Fuck you then. You know, whatever.
Okay.
I believe there's certain people who are like that. But men, we understand as a hunter, it's a numbers game. So we kind of got a built-in tolerance for rejection. You
okay.
understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, if we're being rejected by someone we love,
mm-hmm.
and that we used to be in a relationship, because I would say this, I said this in the second book, Dating Truth, only person who breaks up are women. There's a reason why when women go pick up the kids from the baby daddy, a lot of baby dads will be like, hey, girl, what you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, exes are still trying to communicate with you,
mm-hmm.
still sending you something. Hey, what you got going on?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get an unsolicited genital pic.
Mm-hmm.
Something coming crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So women are the only ones who really, really, truly move on unless she wants to invite you back in.
Mm-hmm.
But guys are always trying to shoot. So if it's a lost love that he just suffered and he's trying to get back in because he now knows he messed up and he's going to keep her there and she is not receptive to his advancement and his attempts, he can then feel some type of way in a hurtful way and change it up in his twisted mind because men can't do it deal with emotions very well.
Okay.
Well, just fine.
Okay.
After you kept saying, hey, well, can you come over with this guy? Just come up. Maybe you want to go out and get something to eat. And she's like, no, I don't think it's going to be good. But, hey, I just wanted to still see if we can still be friends. He'd be like, all right. And then he'll ask again, and you still reject him. Then now it's a, well, fuck you then, you know, cursing you out. He can't deal with that level of rejection
right.
when it's totally engulfed in his emotions.
So women will walk away, and
mm-hmm.
when they walk away, they're not coming back. It's
yeah,
done.
It's pretty much done.
It's done. And men, I think they go, you know what? But I had these feelings at one time. I was attracted to you at one time. You haven't changed. That attraction has not gone away. But, you know, I don't know how to.
He had that access, right? Like I say, the perfect scenario for a man is when a ham. I believe in those Old Testament and the old, other, you look at other religions, I mean, other cultures, they had multiple wives. I believe that innate nature still exists. We, as a big brain creature, we're one of the only creatures on earth that can create concepts of laws, restrictions, how things are supposed to be, right, versus how they are naturally. I believe you only cage a lion to in a zoo to prevent its natural nature to hunt and kill. You only have laws to discourage natural behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
If we were monogamous, why did your God create commandments number 6 and number 9?
Right.
If he made us naturally monogamous,
right.
Monogamous,
right.
You know, if we were naturally nonviolent creatures, then why would it be for number 5? Don't thou shalt not kill. Why do we have laws that discourage murder and so forth? So,
That's incredible. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to get over to Ken's famous waffles. Because listen,
yes,
Mr. Marshall, this has been you're going to have to come back, and we're going to have to maybe set up something where we can have some women that can ask you some questions and stuff like that. But let's go ahead and move on over to Ken's famous waffles. How did you get started in that?
Ken's Famous Waffles came with 2019. I was at my company I was working for at the time. We had a Cinco de Mayo spread. And the young lady I was dating at the time was a co-worker with me. And they were like, what are you going to bring? What are you going to bring? And she was like, go ahead and bring your waffles. I was like, all right, I'll bring my waffles. So we set up that morning cook. Everybody loved them. Everybody loved them. So there was a guy there. He's a Cowboys fan. I'm a Steelers fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's just like you, Ken, a Steelers fan, sleeping on your gift. And when he said that to me, it was like, epiphany, lights. So I started researching it, right? I was like, how do I get my license? How do I get my manufacturing handling? How do I wholesale price? And then I went into business. And it started out about 5 jars to 10 jars a month. So now currently I average about 35 to 40 jars a month that are sold. And now I've also, since May of this year, I've begun selling waffle and chicken plates, waffle and wings, actually, out of Cedar Hill. So that's been really good as well.
Well, I want to know about that. Okay, so now you actually sell a pre-mixed waffle that we could take home and cook for ourselves on the waffle iron?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And you cater as well?
Jar.
And you cater as well? You cater?
Yes, ma'am. Cater as well.
Okay.
Cater, vendoring, 32-ounce jars of pre-made waffle batter. 32 ounces makes 6 Belgian waffles. You do need a rotating waffle iron. This is all on my Facebook page and also on the website. Kind of giving you need a rotating waffle iron because I do make a thinner batter. That's why it's light and crispy. You read the reviews and people's video testimony. So for distribution of the product, you need a rotating waffle line.
Okay.
But yeah, I do sell those and I do cater. I'm adding catfish as far as the hot plates. That's already a part of the catering menu. But as far as hot plates, we're going to be adding catfish to the waffle and catfish menu.
Oh my God, that's just, my mouth is watering. That sounds so good. So now where can we find you and tell us all about that?
Okay, yeah. Website is simple, www.kensfamouswaffles.com. Currently in Cedar Hill, maybe moving to Grand Prairie, but that'll be all updated on the website, the fan page and so forth. The waffle place. Waffle and wing plates are currently being sold on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Wednesday and Thursdays between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Fridays is at 11 to 1, but you always stay tuned to my page because if I have a vendoring event, then plates won't be available on Saturday if I'm catering event. But if I'm available, I'll let you know earlier that week. You can also come out on Saturdays and get those as well.
Okay, so that's www.kenswaffles.com.
Ken's famous waffles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm gonna put that in the chat here. So tell me, where is it in Cedar Hill?
It's right off of Joe Wilson. Cause I'm a home base.
Okay.
Wholesaling. So it's right off of Joe Wilson in Pleasant Run.
I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, right there, Legacy of Cedar Hill Farmers right there. That's where I'm located.
Okay. Wow. I'm so sorry. That sounds wonderful. I mean, that sounds absolutely wonderful. So, okay. So we're going to have you back, Mr. Marshall, because we just spent so much wonderful time talking about your books, but I'm really excited about your waffles as well. So where are you going to be today and tomorrow so we can have some samples, so we can taste? We can get some.
I'm not in any place this weekend. Next weekend, where is it at? I have to look. Let me follow my page. I forgot the name of it, but let me pull it up.
Okay.
On the 31st, I have an event, and I'll be there. Well, let me pull it up right now. It is. Here we go. We are going to be at Palace Events, and that's at Palace Events. She doesn't have the address inside here, but that's the name of the place, is Palace Events. I think it's, hold on, she not put it up here. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Let me go here. Let me see. But I'm open, as I stated. 6 days a week. Sundays out, I'm off. But it's called the Palace, but it had the. Let me see here. Okay, I got it right here. It's coming up. It's on the Eventbrite. So it's going to be the Palace Event, 9011 Don Carpenter Freeway at Suite 106, and that's in Dallas, Texas. The Palace Events.
Okay.
9011 John Carpenter Freeway, Suite 106. That's going to be Saturday, July 31st, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
2 a.m.?
I'll be there.
It's at night. It's at night, or it starts in the morning?
Starts in the morning, 9 a.m.
Okay.
To 2 p.m.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to put that in our chat. And again, Mr. Marshall, thank you so much for being on our show today. We really appreciate you for taking time out of your day to join us. And go ahead.
Yeah, please. Hey, as far as the books, they're on Amazon.
Okay.
Also, you can order them. It's Amazon. Why Must We Play These Dating Games by Kenneth Marshall and Dating Troops.
Okay.
Loss Prevention versus Damage Control. Just go to Amazon. You can search their name and it'll come up for you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you again so much, and I wish you a wonderful afternoon and day. Enjoy your blessings, and thank you again for being a guest.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You appreciate you too. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend. All right. Bye-bye. All righty. We are just waiting for our next guest, and she is on her way right now. She is not, it says her device is not connected. So if you can hear me, Dr. Blunt, come back in again. I thought I saw you earlier and then you blinked out. But thanks to Mr. Marshall, Kenneth Marshall. He was awesome interview. His books are called Why Must We Play These Dating Games and Dating Truths, Loss Prevention versus Damage Control. And you can get them on Amazon. And the author's name is Kenneth Marshall. Check it out. I thought he had some really great information that, you know what, we don't even take the time to stop and think about it. We just go head in first, and then we have to clean it up afterwards, going, how did I get here? What's going on? So anyway, so thank you so much for being on the show today. Now, again, we are expecting Dr. Blunt. She is a principal in Katy, Texas, in a middle school, and we just want to know what is the fall new school year in August going to be like. What is it going to be like for children? And what are some of her challenges that she's facing? And parents, what are the parents' challenges they are facing as well? So we want to welcome her as soon as she gets back in. And I see her now. So we are going to invite her in. All right. Good morning, Dr. Blunt. How are you?
Hello. How are you doing? I'm doing great. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. Thank you for joining us today. I was just telling our listening audience that you are a principal in Katy, Texas, and that you have got a school year to plan. And let's just dive in. First, introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I am Dr. Margie Blunt, and yes, I am a principal in KDISD at Hudsell Elementary School.
Okay.
I've been at Hudsell as a principal there for about 9 years, but I have about 31 years of experience in education. This is an exciting time.
So, you know, we are coming off of COVID, and then again, we want to say coming off, but yet there is this Delta variant, and yet there are still people getting sick. But we have to continue. Life has to go on. So tell us about the school year. Are you going to be 100% in occupancy? Will there be some homeschool classes and stuff going on?
Well, we are planning for 100% occupancy and 100% of normalcy. I've never seen the resilience of our community and our school as I have during this time. And until we are told otherwise, we're planning to go back to school, yet we're going to go back with the knowledge of knowing what we've been through to know where we're going, and we're going to take precautions. We're going to be mindful of the variant and COVID-19. But we need to give our children a sense of normalcy. We need to get education back on its trajectory and move forward with every precaution and every sense of safety possible to make sure that our teachers, our staff, our students are going to be well.
So now you're principal of elementary school. So do you have any of your students well and will be vaccinated, or all of your children under 12?
All of my children are under 12.
Okay.
So the children will be coming, and you know, with that in mind, and you know, we have staff members that, you know, it's their choice, but we hope that people are taking, well, we know that safe practices are in place, and, you know, vaccinations, that's a choice. And we're hoping that people will make the best choice for their health.
So you are not requiring, or are you requiring that all of your teachers be vaccinated and your staff?
It's not a requirement, but it has certainly been, everyone has been, you know, had access to be vaccinated if that's their choice.
Mm-hmm. So what are going to be some of your challenges that you are going to have in the classroom?
Well, of course, you know, seeing and I have 830 beautiful babies and a staff of 100 plus, so having us all under one roof, and it's all practicing safety measures and some sense of distancing ourselves and keeping that at bay. With small children, you know, that is an issue, because if a child is in a need of something, you know, I don't think about COVID-19. I run and give you a hug. or if you're about to fall off some playground equipment or something, I'm not worried about, that's not the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
And then just being safe, that safety. And you know, and of course, we're going to continue practicing hand washing at every turn, even more so than we have, but not sharing food. Not that we did in the past, but just being more diligent about making sure that kids are practicing those safe measures.
Well, you know, now that you said that about food, what came to mind was the fact that, pre-COVID, if you went to buffet-type situations, mm-hmm. the food was right there, you know, and you could just pick it up. And then since COVID, now the food is not there like that. It's packaged, and you're picking up packaged food. So in the cafeteria, when you guys are serving lunches, how is that being handled?
Well, we have a wonderful food service department, and they are also practicing and putting in measures accordingly and making sure things are prepackaged, servings are individualized, and that it would be a safer situation than normal.
Mm.
But that is an issue. You know, I used to, the principal would walk through the cafeteria, and if I saw little Johnny sharing something with little Sally, I would say, oh, no, sweetheart, we don't share food. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, it's ingrained that, you know, we talk about it proactively, and it's kind of more on our radar. Like, look, you only eat your food, and we're not going to share. Birthday parties, are things of that nature. We are, they're not bringing cupcakes and cakes, and we're not cutting cakes and sharing things as we normally did. You know, we're very mindful of the things that we bring in.
Wow. I mean, that just is very, very interesting. So what are some of the successes that you see right now?
Some of the successes I've seen is parents and really trusting us to know that we're going to do our very best to keep their children safe and sending them. Knowing that, hey, they're going to be taken care of and trusting us to do so. Seeing my teachers willing to come out and do the work and knowing how important educating our children is and taking those safety measures and still willing to put their lives on the line and get the work done. Those are the successes I've seen. I've seen our churches and our community organizations. They will call me up and say, look, what do you need? What does Huntsville need? What do our children need? So seeing that camaraderie, seeing us come together and serve our community, serve our children, and just get it done.
Yeah.
Get it with done. The right heart. With a good heart.
With a really good heart. And I know that is a blessing to you. Now, during the summer, did you guys do any, a lot of schools here in the school districts here were feeding the children, those children that were kind of below that poverty line, and so they could go and pick up a lunch every day. So did you guys have anything like that going on?
Yes, we had specific locations in our district, in Katy District, where we had food programs available for our families and for children, for our students. So there were opportunities available for them, feeding programs in our district. So I think that's wonderful because, you know, times are different, times are difficult, and our parents knew that, you know, we had a meal. We had some meals available.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. That is so cool. So now, are your babies going to be having masks on? Are you guys kind of mandating in that area?
Well, masks are optional. So the children that, you know, between their parents and the children, if that is the parents' choice, as of now, that mask if they choose to wear a mask in school, and we are going to be there for that. And if they choose not to wear a mask, then that is also acceptable. That's their choice at this point. And, you know, those are directions that are coming from our district, and our district is listening to our state officials for guidance in the area.
Did you have to make any class changes as far as the size of your classes? Did you have to make them smaller, or did you have to redesign how the classroom is going to look?
We did do some redesigning, and we put measures in place, and reviewed seating. And we looked at how we were distributing materials and devices, technology devices, you know, making sure that we limited the number of users, and after every use, we would wipe them down. So there were some procedures and protocols that are put in place that many of those protocols will remain because it was just good practice.
I agree with that. I agree with that because I noticed, you know, I have noticed that places are a little cleaner. Places, you know, people are just a little bit more friendlier. They welcome you to come in now. And so now, will you guys be greeting those kids on what day? When does school start for y'all?
I think it starts August the 18th. Girl, you know, I work so around the clock until, you know, I just show up every day. But I think it's like August 8th.
Okay.
It's like on a Wednesday.
Oh, in the middle of the week.
In the middle of the week.
Uh-huh.
Our district, I'm fortunate to be in a wonderful district. We figured out that the middle of the week, starting on a Monday, is exhausting. Because you got to go a whole week with those babies.
Uh-huh.
You take them on the middle of the week, you can get off to the beginning of the school start Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and take a breather and then start fresh on Monday. But we start August 18th, the first day of school for our children.
Oh, and so are the teachers excited about this school year? Did you find that they were like kind of glad and ready to get back to normal or some semblance of normality?
I think they are. Teachers are very excited because the beginning of school last year, we had part of our students on a virtual platform and part on a, you know, we extended the virtual, and then some of them, we had a late start for our face-to-face babies, and it was, you know, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, with everybody, with us planning to all be going back face-to-face, working with our children, we can better plan, more efficiently plan, and just be ready to find out where our students left off academically.
Okay.
And then start fresh with a great new year. You have to realize that some of our students, they haven't been to campus. They've been on a virtual since this all happened. Back in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is amazing to me. So you mentioned that the academics. So how did you lose some children, you know, academically in that transfer, and how are you going to recover and get them caught up?
You know, this hasn't been the optimal time for making sure that the academic growth, you know, getting to experience the most success. But coming back, what we're planning on doing is finding out, okay, assessment-wise, where are you? Looking at, okay, where do we need to start with you? Where are the gaps?
Mm-hmm.
And looking at that and then starting and putting together an educational plan for our students where we can start where they are.
Oh, that's
and because when you figure, if you know where a child is academically, mm-hmm. and you put the best instruction, research-based instruction in place, the time it takes to accelerate instruction and the learning accelerates because you know where they are and you're starting them on the foundation of where they are.
That is great. Now, do you have in your school, do you have children with disabilities that you are also educating?
Oh, sure, yeah. We have students with diverse needs, with some learning disabilities, and we're going to individualize that their education and give every child the best of what we can. We're going to individualize, look at their needs, look at their assessment data. If they don't have assessment data, we will assess them and gather some data so that we can make really informed decisions. And not only academically, but this is taking a toll socially and emotionally. And so we want to look at that aspect as well. And we don't want to give the feeling to children that, okay, we're coming into a learning factory. No, we're coming into a safe environment with a culture of we're looking at your needs socially, emotionally, academically, and we're going to fill those buses.
Oh, that sounds so wonderful. That sounds so wonderful. Now, the children, are you having any, I guess there won't be no more parties, or are you going to have assemblies and things like that?
We will. We will have assemblies. We will, we'll put safety measures in place. And even with the parties, they'll just look a little different. We're going to look at ways in which we can continue to celebrate and children can enjoy learning and enjoy the festivities, but just in a safer mm-hmm. and be more cautious mm-hmm. and mindful. Birthday parties, for instance, we used to allow the cupcakes to come and during recess, the child could go out and share cupcakes with her friends. Well, we'll look at, bringing the birthday person to announcements and celebrating the birthdays during morning announcements. We'll just look at it differently, but allow for those celebrations.
Hmm. Wow. So now, what is the average class size for you?
Well, we try to adhere to that 22-1
okay.
class size. Mm-hmm. And that's what we shoot for. And, we're looking at doing that this year.
And now, are you a multiracial school? You have different languages being spoken in your school?
Well, yes. So, Huntsville Elementary, we are a Title I school.
Okay.
In Katy.
Okay.
And now, if you've got 3 or 4 days, I can talk about Huntsville Elementary from now until it's finished.
Well, I want to know what's a Title I school.
But a Title I school is a school where at least 40% of the student population come from homes that qualify as economically disadvantaged, or the family income qualifies such that that student qualifies for free or reduced lunch.
Okay.
And so then when you have 40% of the student body that meets those qualifications, then you are considered a Title I school and you receive extra funding, federal funding, to even the playing field, so to speak. We receive extra federal funds to provide additional academic or additional support.
Mm-hmm.
For my campus.
Okay.
So we are a Title I school. We're also a bilingual school.
Okay.
So about 65% of my students are English language learners or English learners. They speak a language other than English is their primary language. And in my case, my students mostly are Hispanic.
Okay.
And So I have bilingual classrooms and I have what I call general ed or regular ed classrooms, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm. So that's great. That is great. So your kids are learning to speak English, and the kids that speak English, do they have a desire to speak Spanish and learn that as well?
They probably have a desire, but we have a we do not offer, you know, the dual language where the English speakers can learn Spanish, but it's a one way, and we look at exiting students as they have built up the language skills for English, our Spanish-speaking students. But needless to say, it's a great campus, lots of great things going on, and we have some of the most precious students you ever want to meet, and the parents, very supportive.
And PTA, do you have a big PTA?
I don't have a big PTA, but I have a hard-working PTA.
Okay.
And to give you an idea of the buy-in that I have on my campus, a lot of my staff members, they bring their children to school there at Hustle.
Okay.
So some of my PTA officers are made up of staff members there at Hustle because they're parents of their children, but they are also employed by the district.
Okay.
And then we also have other parents that are, you know, that do not work for the district that are a part of our PTA. But that's something that we're growing, and they're hardworking, and they really work hard to support the campus, as a lot of community members do.
Oh, wow. Dr. Blunt, I mean, I really love talking with you, and I love sharing what's going on down there. So your babies, they are not old enough to be vaccinated yet, but that doesn't mean y'all stop loving and caring and making sure that they are absolutely safe, and that is a big blessing for the parents.
That's right. I worried when we started bringing kids back, when we were 100% virtual. I'm used to standing at the doorway and hugging and greeting and however you want to be greeted, that's what you get for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried. I was like, how am I going to greet my children? It was fine. They still got you know, their hug, and we still greeted, and we just kept things safer. But they never felt that there was a difference in the way they were treated or the way they were received. You know, that was a non-issue. We still worked it out. They still knew where our hearts were and cared for. And if they got in any trouble or safety-wise, they really knew where we stood for them, because we, everything went out the window. We took care of kids.
So academically, are you looking that, do you find that the kids, you know, really, really, really want to learn? Are they in that mood to learn academically?
You know, they are. And they missed the, and they're ready to get back on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to get back into a routine.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to see their materials and not have to look at a screen or some other method. They're ready to get back and feel and know what it's like to pick up a book and hold a pencil and be guided by their teachers. You know, we're ready to get back, but we want to get back in a safe manner.
Wow, that is incredible. Dr. Blunt, thank you so much for being on today and sharing your successes and your challenges with this new 21-22 school year. And I wish you the ultimate success in your endeavors and your students. And thank you so much. And we'd love to have you back. And you can tell us how things are going. Show us, give us a play-by-play, you know, of everything that's happening. And again, thank you so much for being on today. And we look forward to talking with you some more and, you know, just finding out how that, how those challenges have been taken care of and handled.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me and the invitation and hearing about my wonderful school.
Your wonderful Cutsill Elementary. And at first I thought it was junior high. I don't know why my brain went to junior high. But it's elementary. Those babies, I just love those babies. Because that is such a prime age, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And if you're ever in the Houston area, look me up. I would love, love, love to have you visit and take a tour.
Oh, I would love to do that. I would definitely love to do that. Oh, man, that's awesome. So thanks again. I appreciate you for today. And enjoy the rest of your weekend, baby, because it is the weekend,
right?
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we'll see you soon. Thank you again so much.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. That was awesome. She was wonderful. She was incredibly wonderful. Dr. Blunt at Katy ISD, and her school is Hudson Elementary, and she's got those babies. She's got those wonderful babies. And you know what? She's taking care of those challenges. She is taking care of those challenges, and it is wonderful. I appreciate it. I appreciate that. And the Waffle Man, Mr. Kenneth Marshall, and his famous Ken's Famous Waffles. You can check it out on his website. It's www.kensfamouswaffles.com. Next week, he's going to be at the Palace Events at 9001 John Carpenter Freeway, Suite 106. It's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Go check them out. Check it out. And, I mean, he just had my mouth watering talking about those waffles and chicken wings and then waffles and catfish in Cedar Hill. Oh, how awesome. So that was great. That was really great. So we are going to take a quick break, and we will come back and talk a little bit more about what's happening in the news, the latest things that's happening in the news. So we're going to just play a quick song to kind of get our blood pumping again. We're going to play a little bit of Al Jarreau, Boogie Down, and we'll be right back. All right, so we are back on From Marvel with Love today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all of both of my great guests today. I had Kenneth Marshall, also known as the Waffle Man. He's the creator of Ken's Famous Waffles, and he had a great story. He's also a published author. He has written two books on relationships, and you can get either one of those books. One is called Why Must We Play These Dating Games, and the other is Dating Truths, Loss Prevention versus Damage Control, and you can get them on Amazon. Also, Dr. Margie Blunt, she is the principal of Hustle Elementary School in Katy ISD in the Houston area, and she was really excited about the year and looking forward, and they have just taken some really great precautions to keep the kids safe and healthy, because, you know, not like the junior high and high school where those kids are old enough to be vaccinated. Her babies are not old enough yet to be vaccinated, and none of them are at made 12 years old yet. So, but her and her staff have done a really great job of preparing a safe environment, and she's got a hardworking PTA, the parents. And so that's just wonderful. That is awesome. And so check them out, definitely. Now, if you wonder how iMessenger Media does what it does, well, iMessenger Media is a multimedia company. We have two print publications, Texas Metro News and Garland Journal. We also have iMessenger, which is a digital magazine, and each one of our publications has its own website. It's www.texasmetronews.com, www.garlandjournal.com, and our iMessenger is www.myimessenger.com. And you can pull up those sites and read all the news. But we want to encourage you to become to be on our e-blast list. We have a daily e-blast newsletter that comes out, and all you have to do is go to www.texasmetronews.com and go to editor@texasmetronews.com. That's editor@texasmetronews.com. Leave your email address with us, and we will put you on that e-blast list, and it comes out every morning. You can get the latest news in what's happening not only in North Central Texas and Dallas area, in Fort Worth area, but all around, just by putting your email address in there and being on our list. It'll be right there in your inbox first thing when you open. So we like that. We also have several blog shows. We have on Tuesday, we have the Doc Shep Show, Dr. Felicia Shepherd. You can get that on Facebook, on Doc Shep Speaks Facebook Live, and you can also get it on her YouTube channel. Also, you can get on Wednesdays, we have I Was Just Thinking with Miss Norma Adams Wade, and you can get hers right there on right here on Blog Talk Radio and on Texas Metro News, and it's Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1. And then on Thursdays, we have The Connection with Deborah Brown-Stern, and it is from, it's at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio and on Texas Metro News. And then on Fridays, you have me, Marva, with From Marva with Love, and I'm from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. as well. And then on Sundays, we have The World According to Drew, which is with Andrew Wiggins III, and he is Blog Talk. You can catch him at 8 in the morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Join the conversation on any of our shows. We sure do like having you check us out. We have people are listening on Blog Talk, and we have people that are watching us stream live on Facebook. So this is how we do what we do. You will find us at events throughout the city of Dallas and Fort Worth. I was just talking about earlier in the show, and just to recap a little bit, I went to, there was a block walk this morning in the, it's the block walking with the commissioner, and that is our Dallas County Commissioner, John Wally Price. They walked the block to inform people about getting their COVID-19 vaccination and how important it is, and it can save lives in this pandemic. So we have got to definitely do this. We want to end this pandemic, and the only way we can do it is if everybody gets vaccinated. And of course, you know, 12 and up, you can get vaccinated. Now, there are still some locations. They have made it a little bit smaller, but it's still at Fair Park. Fieldhouse is still there. You can still get your vaccination. So, but if you want any more information on where vaccinations are, just go to www.texasmetronews.com, and there is a list on our website of those places that you can get them. Now, pharmacies have them. Walmart's pharmacy has them. CVS and also Walgreens has them as well, too. Now, tomorrow, Enlightened Tours, which is the Enlightenment app.com, is having a food festival, and it is going to be tomorrow at Rivershawn Park at 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so if you want to check that out, if you want to be a vendor, or if you just have questions, go to Enlighten at Black Enlightenment app.com. That's Enlighten at Black Enlightenment app.com, and check that out. So there is just some wonderful articles in our paper. So just in case you can't get a paper, you can also go to our website at www.texasmetronews.com. And Cheryl Smith, our publisher, her My Truth column is about why superb women. And then we have Dorothy, our sports editor, Dorothy Gentry, she wrote about women educators discussing balancing the classroom in COVID and motherhood. And that is just some of the stuff that's in our paper, but you don't want to miss that. Also, we want to congratulate the class of 2021, Shannon Lewis, Cedar Hill High School. We want to congratulate her. And then a spotlight on our events is the FAMU Athletic Strike Tour 21. It's hosted by Ann Williams and Dallas-Fort Worth NAA at the Dallas Black Dance Theater Studio, which is at 2700 Ann Williams Way, and that is on today at 6 p.m. So if you are a HBCU FAMU graduate, or you have somebody who's wanting to get off to school there, check it out. It's a nice fundraiser, and it's at Dallas Black Dance, and that's 2700 Ann Williams Way today at 6 p.m. happy birthday. You want to send out a few happy birthday shout outs. Marlon Wayans, happy birthday. Michelle Williams, happy birthday. Santo August, happy birthday. Kim, it's your birthday. Bobby Mays, happy birthday. Major Ali, happy birthday. Eric LaSalle, happy birthday. Natasha Hastings, Helen Martin, Dalvin DeGreat, Karen Rhines, Tierney Guyard, Leela Lawrence Mays, Tamia Henson, Don Rucker, Vincent E. Jackson, Hampton Trigg the second, and Winton Anders. All we wish you at iMessenger Media a very happy birthday. And guess what? On this day in 1984, Suzette Charles was the second Black woman to be crowned Miss America. She replaced Vanessa Williams. And that is your Black History Moment. All right. There are so many other wonderful things that are happening. We want you to tune in and follow us. We have social media pages. We have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow Texas Metro News on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Garland Journal, and iMessenger. And today is Gorgeous Grandma Day. And you're talking about somebody that was peacock proud this last weekend. I traveled to Pennsylvania to my granddaughter's sweet 16, and it was beautiful. Extremely emotional, but very beautiful. And we had a great time. And she had her grandmother and great grandmother to attend. So it was four generations of us. And it was such a blessing. So if you are a gorgeous grandma, it's your day. It's National Gorgeous Grandma Day. All right. Now, if you are looking for a job, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, the Lone Star, Greater Dallas, they are looking, they are hiring, and you can apply at Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Lone Star, Greater Dallas. Check them out and apply. It will be really, really great. So we don't want you to miss out on anything, so please, you can pick up the paper. As a matter of fact, we have it in a lot of local restaurants throughout the city. If you're on the south end of town, we've got South Dallas Cafe. If you're on the north end of town, Vanetti's and even DJ's Steakhouse, the Martin Luther King Center, libraries, you can pick up a Texas Metro News and Garland Journal paper. All righty. And again, we want to congratulate Dee Dee McGuire. She was our superb woman for today. Now, it is so much going on, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful to have been a part of a lot that's been happening throughout in our city. We have it. Just look for us. Texas Metro News, we are out there. We are visiting and we are out there. So talk to your family and talk to your friends. Tell them about, you know what, the vaccine is a necessity. It is absolutely a necessity for us to get back to normal again. I know that the Delta variant is causing a lot of headaches for a lot of people because a lot of things are happening with that. But you know what? If you get those illnesses are coming because the people were not vaccinated. And so let's get vaccinated. You know, I've told this story. My 81-year-old mother said she was wanting to get busy living instead of dying. So she was getting vaccinated. And so everybody should be vaccinated. I'm fully vaccinated. And had little to no side effects from it. And I'm just grateful. And I haven't been sick. Haven't had a day of illness. So definitely you want to do that. Now, we are coming to an end, a close of the show today, and I just want to thank everyone for tuning in today for my special guests, Kenneth Marshall and Dr. Margie Blunt, for being on the show today. And just stay in tune. We're going to have a very exciting show planned for you next week as well. So, again, thank you. So we are going to, just keep up. I'm going to play something that's going to take us out, but tune in to I Was Just Thinking with Norma Adams-Wade on Wednesdays right here on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Radio. And you can always call in if you have questions, if you want to join the conversation, because Ms. Norma Adams-Wade, she is amazing, and she has lessons, and you can learn so much about a Black history in Dallas. She has some exciting guests. Last week she had author E. Faye Williams, who wrote the book about Dick Gregory. And of course, there was also a book signing at the African American Museum this past weekend as well. So if you want to know what's going on, just tune in. Definitely just tune in. So we are going to end with Family Reunion. And the reason why I'm choosing that song is because it is a family reunion when we get together. And once this is behind us, what a family reunion it will be. And I just want to say thank you again. So until next Friday at 11 a.m. on From Marvel with Love, I'll see you then, and enjoy family reunion.
Of family. Whether you want to believe it or not, because you'll bleed.